Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Blessed greetings and love, Mikey General. Welcome to Bob Radio. How you doing?
Blessed, my brother, King Carlos, man. Carlos Culture, the original. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. I'm maintaining through these unprecedented times, but done though. Just keeping up the works and, you know, playing music to, you know, soothe my soul and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, man, give thanks, man. We're doing the works, you know. And I hope you're keeping safe during this disease, this virus that they sent out there,
Yeah. Well, if you guys don't know who Mikey General is, Mikey General's been doing music for like 25, 30 years.
Not 40.
40 years? 40 years.
This year is my 40th year in the business.
Oh, wow. I've only been knowing you since you came out with Faddis and stuff,
I've been in the music long before I met Fatty.
Okay. You know, I was talking to a gentleman the other day from England, Donovan Kingjay, and he brought up your name.
Yeah.
Like from like late 70s, like 1980 or something, that you guys went to some dance
man,
in England.
Yeah, man, 1980, I had many songs in England. England, that's where I started recording in Jamaica.
Okay.
1980, I did my first recording. But then I moved to England in 1982.
Okay.
And then from 1983 on up, I've been doing straight recordings right through England. So,
okay.
And I've been doing a lot of work, but as I said, my career really started in Jamaica, 1980.
Wow, I did not know that. Because when you came out with Faddis and the Exterminator Crew and stuff, you seemed like a young man then. You know?
No, man, I was doing work way before then.
But like in age, young in age. So you must have been recording your first records when you were like a teenager or something.
Yeah, I did my first record when I was 16.
Yeah. Wicked, mm-hmm. wicked. So what got you into recording reggae music? What drew you to reggae music or recording or, you know?
Well, you know, growing up in Jamaica, reggae is all around, you know. It's the music that of the people, music, the heartbeat of the people and things. So, you know, just being here and growing up in Jamaica, it was only natural that I started singing reggae music. You know, we used to, in Jamaica at those times in the early 70s, they used to play a lot of soul music and R&B music, Michael Jackson and those type of people.
Right.
But, you know, on the radio, and they didn't used to play reggae. It's only recently reggae has been playing in Jamaica.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I mean, since Irie FM came in, they were like one of the main people who brought reggae 24 hours of the day.
Yeah.
Before that, it was like a part-time thing. So, you know, we really give thanks that now that reggae has become this global music, we give thanks for Bob Marley and Peter Tosh and all those ones who've set it.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the music is so great, and the message was so important, and I wanted to give out a message like what Bob Marley was putting out. So it drew me to the music. It drew me to because they say, Mikey, you have a nice voice, but I don't just believe that I should just sing songs just for the sake of sounding good.
Right.
I wanted to leave a message.
Right.
So those early days is what made me wanted to do reggae music. Things like those messages from Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Peter
so the
Tosh.
Mess you wanted to be like a, continue his legacy with your own music.
Yes, yes, and the message, because the message is very important.
Yeah. Like they say, and sometimes it's not all about the boof, boof, boof. It's about praises and the message and liberty and unity and stuff.
Yeah, man.
So was, like, your first time getting on the mic, was it a sound system? Or did you go straight to a studio? Who were you working with when you were in those?
No, times? Well, the first time was on the sound system. I said, you know, I was singing on sound systems from I was 13 years old.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so I've been singing on sound systems first. Sound system is, you know, I used to sing some little cover song like to Barry Brown and to Barrington Levy and those things on sound system. Till, you know, I start writing my own songs when I'm about 14, 15.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so, you know, that's where I started.
And which sound system was that?
Well, there's a sound system called Shamrock. My neighbor had a sound named Shamrock.
Okay.
Yeah, and then there's a little community beside where I live named Akiwak.
Okay.
And they had about four sounds over there. You had Zion.
Okay.
Zion sound. You had Chalice, you have Makatone.
Okay.
Yeah, there were so many songs, so I would sing on those songs in the community too,
okay.
You know?
Wicked.
Yeah.
Awesome vibes. I love it. And, you know, so, I mean, I'm going to ask you this stuff, I'm going to talk to you about dub a little bit later, but sound system culture is like such a big thing now, and, you know, it was really big in the 70s and stuff, and when I lived in Jamaica for a brief spell in the early 90s, but there were sounds strung up all the time, and I don't see those so many sounds strung up like I did one time, you know?
Yeah, well, you see, nowadays, what happened now, you know, is that nowadays a lot of people playing music, and they're not really sound selectors, they're not really sound owners, they're just DJs, you know what I mean? So
right.
They work with a laptop. They walk with their some drive, you know. Yeah, so it's a different era, but I really love the original sound system era. That
oh,
was
yeah.
When it. Huh?
Absolutely, it's the best, and they got going on hard in Europe right now. I mean, going on hard. It's an amazing scene over in Europe. Sound system, they build their own stuff, custom sound systems all over the place, and. You know,
that was like how we used to do it. So the Europeans have adapted what we used to do.
Yeah.
They say wanty can get in the Jamaican saying wanty can get it. Get it don't want it. What that means, people who have it don't want it, and those who want it can get it.
Yeah.
So in Jamaica we we kind of turned down somebody like vinyl.
Yeah.
And all those things. Yeah, we're not doing those things again. But in Europe, it's one of the biggest things.
Biggest.
Vinyl is the number one thing. They don't even buy CDs.
Oh, no.
Download.
CDs is finished. It's just vinyl and digital packs and stuff now.
Yeah, exactly. Vinyl and digital.
Yeah. And, you know, it just the record sounds so much better on a sound system. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. It just does, you know. It feels better.
Yeah, it does sound better. It sounds, you know, I mean, that's where the music is originally from, and it's the more you keep your original sound, the better it sounds.
Okay, we're gonna get more into sound system stuff, but let's talk about your works right now. Let's talk about your album you did in 2018, and let's talk about the work that you're doing now. So let's hear about this 2018 album, Tejado.
Yeah, well, that album was produced by a virgin from California named Dr. Seuss, aka James Lord. He lives in Jamaica now. He's one of the directors of Zojack.
Okay.
So this, yeah. So he linked me up like last year, like 2 years ago, and said, "Mike, you know, I really want to do a project with you." And you know, we sat down and we, you know, he would send me the rhythms every day, and I would write songs and thing. And you know, he completed it. He got Dean Fraser and other musicians to blow on it, and other people. You know, so it's really good, and it was a good album. It could have done a little bit better marketing on it, but it's still selling and it's still doing strong.
Yeah, no,
it's a
strong album. It's a nice album, man.
Yeah, it's a strong album. So, you know, that was the last album out now. Now I'm working with a brethren in from the US, from UK, by the name of Chris Kemis. He has a label called Reality Shock.
Okay.
Yeah, and he has been doing some work now. We have completed about 9 songs, and there's like 2 more to be finished. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, man. So we are working. You know, we are always working, and you know, it's always message music. The music does not change. We don't want to sing any music that is not gonna uplift the people.
Right. Right. That's no, you've always had. You've always had a. When you guys came around with Exterminator, Lucy Sizzlin, and the whole crew, and you guys always had a super clean, positive, upful message, and you've never strayed from that. And I can't say that about some other people, but I can know for sure say that you never strayed from the message.
No, and I will never stray from the message, because I believe that the world is in need of message music more than ever now.
Oh yeah.
Because if you notice, international moral standards have gone.
Yeah.
You know, some of the world leaders, they have no principles, no morals, and they set no examples.
Yeah.
So therefore, we as musicians, as the voice of the people, have to do a harder work. We have to keep uplifting and enlightening the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, definitely. You've been doing it for 40 years. Whoa,
yes.
Mikey, big thing that, man. So that's a, and what's the name of the album?
Well, we haven't put on a name on it.
Okay.
We haven't, you know, because I have a song on it named Nah Stop Sing.
Okay.
You know, so he likes that song.
Okay.
You know, and that song named Nah Stop Sing talks about my 40 years in the music and, you know, where I went with the music.
Sounds like a good title to me. Sounds like a good title.
Yeah, I think so too. But, you know, I don't know. You know, there's some other songs on the album that he likes. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, he might just decide to change the name.
Okay. Wicked. Well, we love you so much. We're going to keep on supporting you. And then back in 2014, you put out a really nice album. It had some nice music on it.
Yeah, Hallelujah song. That was recorded for a producer in Spain called Regalan Marcos.
Okay.
Roberto Sanchez.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah. He did a great job. You know, he had a Brethren named Genius,
mm-hmm.
who built all the rhythms. We recorded 10 of the songs in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
at Tuff Gong Studio.
Okay.
And then I when I was in England, I flew to Spain and I recorded the rest of songs.
Oh man, that's massive. That's
yeah.
massive. Well, while we're talking about Spain and stuff, let's get back to the dub conversation. So, I'm doing this series of interviews, and I'm talking to people about sound system and dub, and I'm calling it the Dub Chronicles. You'd be part number 8. I did Matt Professor. I did a dub producer here. I did Kirkle Dove. I did Jalonzo. This guy named Jadi. This guy Tommy Dubs. And I wanted to know what dub means to you.
Dub. Well, dub is 2 different things to me. Dub is the music of the drum and the bass rolling to the heartbeat. And elevating the soul and the body, you know what I mean? Get you moving. Yeah. And then dub also is a rebellious music in that it is a music that makes you want to stand up for your rights and fight. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. what it means to me, because dub is like the raw side of the music.
Mm-hmm.
Raw,
yeah.
It's not like the pretty side, you know. It's not the refined side. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a real raw, down to earth side. So it's very important to me. I love dub. I love the dub. When I'm singing, I love to sing on dub music,
mm-hmm.
and also I love to listen it. So it's really good to me. I really love dub.
Yeah, man. Dub is the future. Jalonzo's saying, hey, dub is the future. You know, and I think
it's always the future, the present, and the past.
There you go. I like that, because from King Tubby and Scratch and
exactly, King Tubby is the past.
Yeah,
and he's like the founder of dub music.
Yeah.
He's the past.
And we have like next generation.
If you notice,
Yeah.
Yeah, if you notice how many offsprings dub has.
Oh.
I remember you have jungle.
Mm-hmm.
You know jungle music?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you have
dubstep. Yeah.
Yeah.
EDM, every genre, hip hop, the whole everything. It comes from King Tubby and Sound System.
Yeah, so
and
dub
Sebastian
is,
and all that.
Dub is really the foundation of the team.
Yeah, man. So I think that, you know, this big wave of these dub camps and dub arenas that they have in Europe, I think we're going to start seeing that a little more of that here in the United States.
I think so. You know, where you are in California is really, I really have to love California. California to me is like one of the capital cities of dub in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because California stays true to the reggae. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trust me. I know, you know, I went to California the other day and last year and some people were complaining about, we call it Cali roots.
Yeah.
They said they don't like Cali roots and all that stuff. But
right. It's
an offspring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the offspring of the music. So we still have to appreciate it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I feel the same way. Like, people are like, you know, I'm having these conversations about dub and serious music, and they're like, yeah, well, I don't, you know, Cali roots this, Cali roots. I'm like, you know, there's a time and place for every type of music. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know,
they're doing beautiful stuff,
and I can't knock them for doing what they're doing. You know?
I can't knock them either because it's still reggae.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's still dub. It's all coming on to where is the foundation.
Yeah.
It's not like, say, Cali roots can take away reggae from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Because Jamaica is the home of reggae.
Yeah.
You can't take it away.
You can't take it.
You understand?
It. Yeah.
No, but it's a different form of reggae. Just like how in the UK they created dubstep,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, and jungle from reggae. Yeah, it didn't take away from what the reggae has done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It just makes more. It just grows. The music just grows.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, man. So, like, you have like Kingston Dub Club, right, over there, right? It's a big sound.
Yeah, yeah.
And they play, like, you know, hardcore Sataman root style music, right, and stuff. Do you think you're going to see more sounds like that in Jamaica?
Well, I would love to see more sounds like that. Because really and truly, dubstep and all those people.
Yeah.
It's good when you can, because the thing is with roots music is that it's uplifts.
Yeah.
And educates, and you know what I mean? And but the thing is that it gets a fight in Jamaica. Let me tell you straight up.
Okay.
As a Jamaican, I will tell you straight up. They don't promote roots reggae music here. Why? I think they're afraid that if the people get too much roots, they're going to get rebellious against the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're afraid of. So they like to
fight
to promote dancehall.
Right.
Because dancehall is frivolous music.
Yeah.
It doesn't make the youth think. It doesn't elevate
them. Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So therefore, they want to keep the people down. And they know that music is influential in keeping the people down. You know? Because really and truly, you know that what I found out in Jamaica is that whenever there's a disaster, like a real disaster, like a storm or a hurricane and blow down the place, for a whole month you don't hear no dancehall. They play straight culture because they know the people need music to build them up.
Yeah.
Mentally. But as soon as the people have recovered, they've gone back on the dancehall because they want to keep them frivolous.
Yeah. Well, they go back in their own ways and making money and partying and ting. But it's absolutely true. Like, that's how I, like, during this downtime, I've had a lot of time to listen to my records, right? I pulled my records out of storage and had them here at the house. So I started going through them because I had time to listen to them. And I just love, you know, and I'm like, I'm not interested in playing the latest dance hall right now. I want to play my roots stuff. I'm not catching a vibe any of that
you're
stuff.
You're not knocking dance hall because you're the man who play dance hall when you're ready.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're not knocking dance hall, but the time calls for root uplifting music.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So,
I'll tell you, honestly, the truth, I don't see Carlos Culture playing a whole bunch of crazy dancehall anymore. I'm going to be pushing more of the dub side of the music. I was telling Al Barossi.
That's good.
You know, I'm like, sure, if they want to hear, to me, I'm like, you know, there's plenty of other sounds and plenty of other DJs that play all the brand new stuff that is popular or whatever, dancehall, modern roots. Go listen to them. I'm going to be playing like UK dub style and killer rockers and old school Jamaica stuff and stuff like that, you know?
Yes, man. And you still can play some of these roots, young artists, man, because look at Protégé.
And Jesse and stuff. Yeah.
You know, and he has a young crew with his artists like Lila IK,
Savannah.
Yeah, Chronix, all of them. They're on a good
vibe. They have a good vibe. They have a good vibe still.
They're good, but sometimes I think they kind of, because they're young, they kind of deviate. Well, not Protégé himself, but like Chronix, he will deviate in hip hop.
Yeah.
And he will deviate in. Crossover music, like. Hey, but one thing I respect about Protégé, he keeps it real with reggae. You know what I mean?
Protégé has some great stuff, and Jesse Rill's got Natty Pablo's got a great song. I'll play stuff like that, and I'll play like modern roots rocker stuff. But I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna play a little differently now that after this thing, I'm gonna stick more to like more message music and more rubber.
Well, I agree with you, Carlos, because the thing is, you know. You see the plight and the struggle what the people have been going through and what this COVID has done to them. Mm-hmm. And you know that they need music to uplift them. They need positive music to strengthen them. So you're going to be playing music to uplift the people.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So don't knock yourself for that. That's the way you're doing. It's a better step.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely feel that. I definitely feel that. You know? And you know, one of the great songs, King David Offspring, your song, that King David Offspring. I used to just listen to the dub of that over and over.
Yeah.
The 7-inch.
Yeah.
Kings of the Earth, isn't it? Kings of the Earth. Yeah.
Babylon said this.
Yeah.
Anytime now, I pack a pie. Remember that song?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, those first albums from Sizzla U and Lucci on the Exterminator of the Labor were just vintage. They're still killer records. And I was just playing your record the other day. The Stronger Rasta Man. I love the vibes, man.
Thank you very much, Carlos, man. You know, and I'm just trying to stay in that vein. I don't want to leave that vein. Trust me.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a super clean, nice vibe, and it's Irene, you know, it's a good meditation. And then you've been doing it for so long. I just wanted to talk to you and get your opinion about the music and dub and sound system and all that.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. And I'm really glad to speak to you too, Carlos, because it has been a long time. And you were there from Drum Street when the first time I come to America, California, you were there.
Yep.
And you've always been there supporting us, and you've been playing our music for the years now. So, you know, we really appreciate it, and I'm glad for this opportunity to speak to you and to, you know, convey my message.
Oh, man, thank you so much, man. It's the feelings mutual, Mikey. You know, hey, you know, Mikey, I may call you again and do another, like, part two, and we just talk about strictly about sound system and dub.
No problem. I'm ready for you.
All right. Hey, thanks for your time. I appreciate you, Mikey.
All right, my brother. And take care, brother Carlos. You don't know. Respect and love, yeah?
Yeah, man.
All right, my brother.
Cool. I got it. Very awesome. Yeah.